This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and happy Monday. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan with Sumitra Selvaraj and Kelly Anisa. So here are our stories today.
It's official. Nike is officially and contractually providing maternal protection to the female athletes that they sponsor. This means that female athletes will no longer be financially penalized for having a child. It's crazy to think that they were once.
Speaking of things that are surprising, our second story, Zakir Naik has been in the headlines with his incendiary remarks about various ethnic groups in Malaysia. So we discussed the political scenarios that allow figures like him to rise to prominence in the first place.
And on that note, we are asking you on Twitter, are you satisfied with the government's response to so far to Zakir Naik? Your options are yes or no. But if you have any more thoughts, you can always tweet us at BFM Radio. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-7733-2900.
So before we get to our stories, here is Hello Today by Black Honey.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
That was Hello Today by Black Honey. Now our first story.
So last week, Nike's Executive Vice President of Global Sports Marketing, John Slusher, issued a letter to the company's sponsored female athletes detailing changes that have been made to their respective contracts in an effort to support them through pregnancy.
So why is this notable? Because 3 months ago, three female athletes broke their non-disclosure clauses with Nike to share something that many knew was true, but were too scared to talk about. And was, if they have children, they risk pay cuts from their sponsors during pregnancy and afterward.
Wow.
Cue the bleating, but women should not be competing in sports while pregnant anyway. So before we get into the bones of the story, and it is an interesting story, let's do a little myth busting with sports and exercise physician Dr. Kavita Mahadevan. I refuse to begin by asking if pregnant women should exercise. So instead, I asked Dr. Kavita to outline just some of the many benefits of keeping fit during pregnancy.
Well, I think we all know the benefits of exercising during pregnancy. For the mother, we're looking into not just physical changes, physical improvement, but what we fail to realize is the improvement in terms of psychological support for the mother. Exercise plays a very, very important to boost the mother's confidence. There's a lot of changes that happens with the mother. She gets bigger in size, she gets tired, she feels weak, early morning sickness comes in, they feel miserable. And exercise has been shown to, you know, to have tremendous benefits for early morning symptoms, first trimester symptoms, and so on. Well, that's just looking into the mental health. In terms of physical health, we know when the, you know, the moment a person becomes pregnant, they start eating for two, they start becoming, you know, the movement starts getting slower. So that all equates to weight gain. So we know if you put in the component of physical movement, regardless whether it's exercise or just walking around the house in a consistent basis, has been shown to assist the mother from preventing the mom from getting excessive weight gain associated with things like diabetes, hypertension, high cholesterol, and so on. And they have found that mothers who have an issue with weight tend to have a higher rate of cesarean section. Mothers who don't move much, mothers who've got weight issues, they tend to have a higher rate of cesarean section as compared to normal delivery.
Okay, so that's a given, right? Exercise is going to benefit a pregnant woman, but obviously contact sports are something pregnant women might want to avoid. How about impact sports such as running?
Well, okay, so I personally know of many ladies who still continued running pre-pregnancy, through the pregnancy, even they did not know when, I mean, they, at points when they did not know they were pregnant, and they still continued running till the very last day that they delivered. So, but what they need to keep in mind, it is not wrong. That is not a contract. Impact sports, what we call another weight of weight-bearing sports, they are absolutely fine. But what they need to keep in mind is one significant change that happens during pregnancy is ligament laxity, where the ligaments become loose. And a significant change that happens is what we call to the pelvic floor muscle. It's the hammock. It's like a hammock that supports the pelvic organ, the uterus, and so on. So with this laxity, these muscles become very lax. With bounding activities such as running, the laxity becomes more significant. But of course, we can overcome this. If the individual, if that mother wants to run, she has to put equal amount of importance to what we call as pelvic floor strengthening exercises. Kegel is just one of it. But if she focuses on pelvic floor strengthening exercises, which she does not need to go to a gym, it's all home-based exercises. She can even do it while she's while driving.
Mm.
She's good to run. Absolutely no issue.
Okay, so that's for regular women. Elite athletes' bodies are, of course, a whole different level altogether because they've been conditioned over a sustained period of time. Is pregnancy easier on athletes, or is that a fallacy?
Well, I like to believe that it would be easier for athletes because, like what you mentioned, you know, they're already conditioned. We know the benefits of exercising in pregnancy.
Mm.
So I would believe that athletes actually would do better in pregnancy. But again, it's very individualized. I can't say athletes would definitely do better because how my perception of weakness may be different for them. You know, so maybe we make an assumption that athletes should do better, but I would like to believe that athletes would do better because they're already conditioned. Yes, maybe they're in a more superior league than the normal population. They do well in pregnancy, and most of them, they still continue exercising throughout your pregnancy. Nothing stops them.
So, Kavita, as a sports physician, as a fitness buff, and as a mother yourself, do you have any thoughts on Nike's recent change of heart when it comes to its contractual obligations for pregnant athletes?
Yep, I think Nike did the right thing. They, you know, their tagline of just do it, they're proving it right. The recent change of policy is showing a very good light to many, many out there, telling that, you know, pregnancy is something normal. One should not judge a pregnant lady just because she's pregnant. She does not equate to a person who is less efficient. A pregnant lady does not equate to someone who is less productive.
Mm.
So she should not be labeled just because she's pregnant. So I'm glad Nike decided to change the policy, because if they did not, it was going to be a continuous backlash on them.
Are you aware of this sort of discriminatory practices that happen even within Malaysia, for example?
Well, I mean, let's not go far. I think I myself was a victim of it. Of course, I'm not together with any big companies for sponsorship or so.
Mm.
But I had my eldest boy. My first pregnancy was during my master's program, and I was on a sponsorship.
Okay.
And at that moment, when I had my first boy, it was my first pregnancy. It was my first child. I had zero experience.
Mm-hmm.
But surprisingly, when I requested for continuation of my leave, it was rejected. I was only allowed to have 2 weeks of MC, medical certification, and 2 weeks of my own leave, which equates to 4 weeks.
Sorry, you mean you had 4 weeks of maternity leave?
It's not even, maternity leave does not exist in the master's program. So you're talking about 2 weeks of MC plus 2 weeks of own leave.
But this is ridiculous. I mean, was this a government sponsorship or a private organization?
It was a government sponsorship.
Sorry, but if the government can give maternity leave of 3 months to its employees, why wouldn't somebody who is on a master's program be afforded the same right?
Because we are bounded to a program which is fully sponsored, and we are expected to finish it by 4 years. Also, minimum 4 years, maximum 7 years. So I didn't have a choice. I discussed it with my husband. And, you know, I realized that I was not in a position to come back to work in 4 weeks after I deliver. Well, it takes a mother who just delivered to take at least 6 weeks to recover. And here I had to go back in 4 weeks. So I had no choice but to go on unpaid leave eventually.
That was Dr. Kavita Mahadevan, who is a sports and exercise physician, who shared not just her expert opinion on the capacity and capability of pregnant athletes, but also her own experience of not being provided adequate maternity leave when on a government-sponsored master's program.
Yeah.
So, which I found really, really odd. You know, why would there be such, in my view, discrimination towards government employees versus government employees who are on a master's program? Mm.
I mean, they should technically be treated in the same capacity, right?
They should. And on that note, would you feel, or would it be fair to say, that reproduction is a biological need, yes, but more strongly a right, and that women should not be penalized for exercising that right? whether you believe that children is, you know, having children is being driven by your own maternal instinct and the ticking biological clock, or by social constructs that society around you expects you to have a child, women have the right to choose if and when they want to have a child.
No, absolutely. And I mean, I would extend that argument further, right? Because it's not just about having children. I do think that, you know, as workplaces or as employers, we don't think about our employees in terms of what it is that they choose to, the choices they make in life and what that pans out to be. So I, for instance, don't have children. I don't intend to have children. But I think that in the same way that most places offer maternity leave, I don't think there's anything wrong with every employee being given, let's say, you know, hypothetically, 3 months every 5 years, right? And you can choose to do whatever you want with those 3 months, be it go off and have a child, go and do a master's. And, you know, that will even resolve issues like the fact that we don't have paternity leave, for instance, because this is something you can extend to all your employees.
I agree, because it's not a gender issue here. We're talking about, if you're talking about fulfilling a biological need or a right, it's not just a woman's issue.
No, it's definitely not. It's a societal issue, right? Because we also talk about the fact that we need to, for instance, countries where we're facing negative birth rates, you want people to have more children, but you don't provide them with the facilities or the kind of support system that makes that convenient. So why would women choose to have kids if it means they have to compromise on their careers?
Yeah, especially in the workplace, right? You do get all sorts of policies that are put into in the workplace. For example, here with Nike.
Yeah, so before Nike made these amendments to the contracts, female athletes were not guaranteed protection for pregnant athletes and new mothers. So Alison Felix, the most decorated female Olympic track and field star, also went public to the New York Times about her own contract dispute with Nike after becoming a mother in 2018. At that point of contract negotiations, Nike wanted to pay her 70% less after becoming a mother.
70% less.
Yes. And last month, Felix officially moved on from her seven-year relationship with the company and signed a multi-year deal with Athleta, a women's apparel company owned by Gap, that assured her of compensation during maternity.
Alison Felix is the most decorated Olympian. Her relationship with Nike was symbiotic. Let's be honest about it, right? Whatever they might have paid her over the years in terms of sponsorship and compensation, she made up by being a role model and a figure.
Yes, of course, and moving their product.
Because it's with these elite athletes, right? Contracts are never just performance related. Publicity, sponsorship, marketing. And often these parts are more lucrative than the actual part of winning races themselves.
Right.
So if a sporting giant like Nike wants to be associated with star athletes because of their values often on the field, then they better start treating athletes as more than just medals on a podium. That's winning.
Well, on that note, we do need to wrap up that story, but you can continue to share your thoughts with us on it if you like.
Yes, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-7733-2900. We're also asking you on Twitter, are you satisfied with the government's response so far to Zaki Naik? Your options are yes or no. So that is in relation to our second story.
So you can also WhatsApp us if you have thoughts on that issue, because we will be discussing it after the break. But first, here's Baby It's Cold Outside by Seth MacFarlane, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.